In the Bible, Esau is singled out. In the book of Hebrews, as an example of bitterness. Hebrews 12, verse 15 and 16 says, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of bread, meat, sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In Genesis 25, we have the account of Esau and his rejection of his birthright. And we'll begin reading in verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days were delivered, when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Last week we were talking about bitterness, and we reviewed some of the characteristics of bitterness. Bitterness remembers every detail of someone else's faults and magnifies those faults. Bitterness overlooks larger spiritual problems of their own. Bitterness justifies wrong actions. on the basis of their bitterness. Bitterness is rooted in pride. Thinks human thinking. And here, human things are superior to God's will and God's plan. Accuses others of pride, while it is really the desires of others to follow the will of God. Bitterness focuses on men and their faults. Bitterness does not see God and His plan. Here we find the first of two accounts of the interaction between Esau and Jacob. And we find the second event, chapter 27. Before we get to chapter 27, let us think about Esau and his attitude about spiritual things. Esau did not value spiritual things. Esau considered his birthright less valuable than, can we put it in different terms, a bowl of oatmeal. Isn't that amazing? He considered his birthright less valuable than a bowl of pottage. Let me ask you a question. Is that a big sin? Now, the birthright in the time of the patriarchs, in the time of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the father was the priest of the family. The father met God, led the worship of God at legitimate altars of worship. He was the bearer of the covenant that God had given to Abraham. And that covenant, of course, was the seed of the Messiah, the Redeemer of mankind. Can you think of anything more important? The line of the Messiah. Esau says, so what? So what? I'm hungry. And I'm deathly hungry. I don't care about that birthright anyhow. You see, the birthright represented a great responsibility. You know what the responsibility was? The responsibility of being the spiritual leader of the family. The spiritual leader of the family. That was a very, very important part of having the birthright. You know, men today want to say, I'm the head of this house. You know what I mean? God said it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Do you know what that means? It says, you're to be the head, even as Christ was the head of the church, and He gave Himself on the cross. Wow. Self-sacrificial, self-denying leadership. That's a whole lot more than saying, I'm the boss.
Right?
I was talking to a dear soul, young man. And he said, you know, my dad took us to church once in a while. And we would pray a little prayer when we ate. But that was it. He never talked about God. Never. That was it. That was it. But when we got out of line, the Bible says, and so what Esau did was really bad, but it's pretty common. It's pretty common. You know what I mean? How many men are like Esau? They're all into the world, hunting, fishing, well, I don't know, whatever. You know what I mean? But God being number one, most important thing in their life? No. You know, it's a decision that every young man makes, isn't it? It's a decision that every young man makes of what kind of person they are going to be, what kind of man they are going to be. And there's many young men that said, you know, spiritual things, not that important. And Esau said that. Jacob. Now the Bible tells us, there's a picture here. As the twins were coming out of the womb, the Bible says Jacob grabbed the ankle of Esau. Now, I could be wrong, but I think this is the picture. The picture is, even at that age, Jacob was grabbing his ankle, you know, so to speak, to pull him back so he could be first. He wanted to be the firstborn. He wanted to be the spiritual leader. He wanted to inherit the covenant, which he did. Because the spiritual was everything to him. Now, so this is a big sin. Genesis 27, came to pass that when Isaac was old, and eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son! And his son said unto him, behold, here am I. And he said, behold, now I am old. I know that the day of my, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, thy bow, and go out of the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Oh, the eldest son. Now, the blessing of the firstborn was not only the spiritual leader, the priest, the patriarch, inheritor of covenant, the line of the Messiah. It also got with it a double inheritance. So in this case, there's two boys. Esau would get two-thirds. as well as the headship. And Jacob would get one third. Now, let me ask a question. What do you think Esau was interested in? The spiritual leadership or the financial blessing? What do you think? Yeah, he was interested in the inheritance, wasn't he? Interested in the inheritance. And so, that's really the bottom line of the whole thing. Verse 5, Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt, and Rebekah spake unto Jacob, her son, saying, Behold, I have heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother. Bring me venison, etc. Verse 8, Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Now, apparently, Rebekah and Isaac weren't on the same page. Rebekah remembered that it was Jacob who was supposed to be the one who inherited the birthright. He said the elder, God said the elder is going to serve the younger. Apparently, Isaac forgot about God's will. And Isaac was clouded, his thinking was clouded by Esau's hunting ability and that type of thing. So, we know what happens. Jacob does what his mother says, puts the goat skin upon his hands and makes him smell like the field and brings the food in and Isaac said, Are you really Esau? Oh yeah, I'm Esau. And he says, boy, the voice is, I couldn't see very well, remember? He says, the voice sounds like Jacob, but man, you smell like Esau. And your hands, they feel like Esau's. Okay. And I'm going to eat this and you're going to get the blessing. And of course, we know that Esau comes back. And the blessing has been given to Jacob. And the Bible tells us how he cries, is in tears, and Isaac said, "Yep, he got the blessing, and you aren't going to get the blessing. He got it. It's not going to be taken back." And so the Bible tells us. Verse 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah, and she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said, Behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother in Haran. Now, I think we need to remember verse 34 and 35. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, Is not he rightly named Jacob? Jacob means supplanter. For he hath supplanted me these two times. Behold, he took away my birthright, and behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Remember what Hebrews says. And this is God's opinion of the situation. Lest there be any fornicator or profane, secular-minded person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now, Malachi has a commentary on this. Malachi 1:3. It says, verse 2, I have loved you, saith the Lord. You say, wherein hast thou loved us? And God says, was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Now, gives us quite an insight into this whole issue of bitterness. I was going to title the message, Bitterness, the Great Forgetter and the Great Rememberer. Bitterness, the Great Forgetter. You know, Esau forgot. You know that? Esau forgot. You know what he forgot? He forgot who he was. He forgot his own sin. He forgot his own sin. You know, bitterness has the ability, or I should say, it is characterized by a person forgetting their faults. Forgetting their faults. Bitterness as the characteristic of forgetting. Oh, so much forgetfulness. And it is such a good rememberer. It is such a forgetter of what I have done, and what a rememberer of what someone else has done to me. Now, one thing to put it in perspective is this. Most people don't remember that we have sinned against God. And most of us forget that no one has ever done something worse to us than we have done to God. But bitterness is a great forgetter. Esau is a great forgetter. He forgot that he despised his youth, his birthright. He forgot that he despised God's will, God's plan. He despised it. He forgot that. He acted like he's such a good guy. And who is this Jacob to trick me? Right? Right? Who is this Jacob? I'm perfect.
Jacob. He's a scoundrel.
Well, bitterness is a great forgetter, isn't it? You know, someone gets bitter over something happens to them as though they never did anything like that or worse than that to someone else. Isn't that amazing? Someone goes, oh, they're not ashamed when something happened to them. And they remember it like yesterday. Something took place 20 years ago. But they forgot what they did. They forgot what they've done. They forgot about their failures. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Bitterness is a great forgetter. So let's compare Jacob and Esau. And this gives us a kind of a insight into the heart that becomes bitter. Now Jacob, he had some faults. There's no question. He was kind of a manipulator. But you know, Jacob was interested in the things of God. He was concerned about God's will. He was concerned about the covenant. He was concerned about the line of the Messiah. He recognized that spiritual things were far more important than material and earthly things. Now he had his faults. But to him, he had something going for him. To him, God's will, God's plan, God's work, that was the most important thing. Esau? That's not so important. You know? Fill your belly. That's more important. Enjoy life. The conquest of hunting, capture, you know, all of that. That's important. That's more important than God. Secondly, along with that, Jacob's value system was spiritually based, where Esau's value system was humanly based. You see, Jacob was interested in what God would do, and Esau was interested only in what man did to him. You understand what I'm saying? He was interested in what man did, not what God was doing and not what God's plan was. You know, this is a real part of bitterness. Is what people see. I was thinking about this. And from my own personal experience with dealing with bitterness, you know, when you're bitter,
You only see the human side. I was dealing with, I guess we would call it, we don't call it bitterness, we call it hurts. We call it being hurt by someone. And I was dealing with that. And you know, it didn't matter what that person said, I didn't hear God. I didn't hear God. I didn't hear God's voice. I didn't hear the messages they preached. I heard nothing. Because all I could think of was the man. You see, bitterness is so focused on man that they can't see God. It was God's will that Jacob get the blessing. It was God's will that Jacob get the birthright. It was God's will. But Esau couldn't see God's will. He could only see Jacob's faults. Now, here's a very serious conclusion. What does God say about it? God had respect unto Jacob. And God rejected Esau. How costly is bitterness? How costly is bitterness? I'd say it's the cost is pretty high, isn't it? God had respect unto Jacob. You know what? Anything God does towards us is merciful. Amen. It's amazing how in our minds, when we're bitter, we hold others to a far higher standard than we hold for ourselves. And the Lord Jesus said, with what meat you measure, you shall be measured yourself. And so we see that bitterness is a great, great destroyer. Has many, many different ramifications. And in the end, God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And the Bible says, as we mentioned last week, that not only is bitterness a great forgetter, but bitterness is also a great excuser. And it says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Wow. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. What's it saying? Well, Esau now figured because he lost the blessing, which was really his fault, because he sold his birthright, he despised it. But he wants to focus on the deception that took place. Now he is going to become God. And he has the right to kill Jacob. Right? You see, bitterness justifies in our mind bigger sins. Immoral sins. They did that. Now I can do this. So you have a typical young person that maybe even justifiably they decide that some inconsistency of their parents is an excuse for them to do what they want. Now, that's a choice. Bitterness is always a choice. And a young person who becomes bitter is because they choose to become bitter. They choose not to have grace. They choose not to forgive. They choose not to look at all the good things their parents have done for them. They choose to ignore all them and focus on one or whatever failure. They choose that. And they've chosen to become bitter. And now that is an excuse to be rebellious. Now that's an excuse to go to the internet and get and look at pornography. That's the excuse to go and have the wrong kind of friends and do the wrong kind of things. That's the excuse because so-and-so put a little jam on my little toe. Therefore, I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't always have to be that extreme. But it is an excuse to do wrong. An excuse to do your own thing. The world is full of bitter people. Yeah, America is a bitter place, isn't it? And so, a policeman, just like in North Carolina, 15 prosecuting attorneys looked at all the evidence, said that the policeman was not guilty. But when it happened, it was an excuse to loot, to burn buildings down, to shoot, to harm, to kill, to do whatever. Bitterness, wasn't it? America's bitter. And so we see that bitterness is not only a great forgetter, it's a great rememberer. Is also a great excuser. And who's the one that's not in the picture? God. Right? God isn't in the picture. The voice of God is hard to hear. The plan of God is hard to see. And bitterness is a great destroyer. How many people have thrown away their life and God has said, can't use them. Can't use them. Not usable. Because they've chosen to allow bitterness to come into their life and to stay there. And you know, we're human. And we can make those mistakes. And it's not right. But God is gracious and God is merciful. And God calls us to repent of our bitterness. God calls us to recognize our bitterness. Now, we didn't get to talk about this, but Hebrews 12 tells us that bitterness will trouble you and many will be defiled. Bitterness spreads. Bitterness affects and spreads to all that are around it. It's amazing. Bitter young people hang out with bitter young people. And people who listen to bitter people become bitter. It spreads, it defiles, it poisons. Now, think about it. I was thinking about this. If a mom and dad choose to be bitter, what do you think will happen to the kids? They'll be bitter. They'll be bitter. Pretty serious, isn't it? Pretty serious. Now remember, Romans 3, when it describes this, the human nature, the sin nature, it tells us that one of the results of the sin nature is bitterness. And so what's it telling us? It's telling us that although bitterness is a decision, bitterness is the normal result of walking in the flesh. In Romans 3, it says, whose mouth is full, verse 14, is full of cursing and bitterness. Thank God for His grace. What do we need to do about bitterness? Number one, we need to take responsibility for our actions. We need to take responsibility for our actions. Don't say, they're the big culprit. No. Nobody ever did anything to us that's worse than we have done oftentimes in our own life and have done against God. That's a pretty good remedy. Taking responsibility. Number two, we are commanded to forgive and forget. We are commanded to forgive and to forget. And forgiveness is a choice. You know, if a typically, and I think this is the grace of God, someone would be going the wrong direction, and they say, Pastor, give me, they won't say this, give me the details. And if I had to, I couldn't do it. Because I don't, what's the use of remembering all that stuff? You know what? What's the use of remembering what somebody did? It's of no value. I figure I got enough problem just staying right with God myself. Remembering every little thing somebody did to me. But the devil will use something, and we'll have to decide that we're going to have to forgive. We're going to have to just decide. Then, if needs be, we may have to go to that person that we're bitter at. And we may need to go to them and say, you know, I have been unkind to you. Because bitterness is unkind. I have been unkind to you. Maybe you don't have to say, I was bitter. But you have to admit, you know what? I was unkind. But bitterness usually tries to be unkind. Because it likes to get back. And, you know, that really does a lot to get rid of bitterness. It does a lot. I have been unkind towards you. And it doesn't matter, it's just wrong. And then, faith is an important part of overcoming bitterness. Because God never allows anything in our life that isn't for our good. God never allows anything in our life that isn't for our eventual good. And we have to say, Lord, you know what? You let that happen. And Lord, who am I to question you why you let that happen? Lord, you let that happen because I needed that. I needed that. That's exactly what I needed. And you let it happen. Because I needed to learn how to react correctly. I needed to learn how to appropriate the grace of God. There is a weakness in my life. You let it happen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It wasn't them. It was what you wanted. What you wanted. Faith. Faith is a vital part of overcoming bitterness. Faith. Forgiveness. Confession, taking responsibility. And you know, bitterness is a terrible taskmaster. Bitterness is the boss. A terrible boss of many, many people's lives. And what a blessing to be released from that terrible taskmaster, the tool of the devil. And only Jesus can do it. Amen. Only Jesus can do it. But it's nothing for him. It's nothing for him. Let's pray together. Lord, there are great eternal truths, lessons for us from your word. Lord, these are real life experiences. This is real life. Lord, we realize there is much at stake. There is everything at stake. Lord, bitter people very, very seldom get saved. Bitter people very seldom are what God wants them to be. Yea, never. Lord, your will is at stake. Your future, your plan is at stake. And Lord, now we need your grace because Lord, you know that the hardest thing for bitterness is to recognize it, admit it. And Lord, we can only leave that in your merciful hands. And Lord, I pray that you'll give grace to the precious soul that is wrestling with these issues tonight. I pray that in this battle with the flesh, the Spirit will win. And so we give it to you, Lord. It's everything. So give us the victory, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.